This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic banter. Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun. Dynamic banter. Honking horns and ringing bells and making good. Dynamic banter. Don't forget the history road. On Dynamic banter.
Fucking gibberish, dude.
Is that just gibberish?
It's gibberish.
He was good at gibberish, though. He could just say gibberish, and then people would understand which instruments to put where.
Like, to this day, I don't think anybody really knows what he's saying when he says, quote, Shamona.
No, no one's even come close to, like, doing an ad lib that's anything like that.
No.
Like, the closest we got was, like, Drake would be like, yeah. And that's just like a yeah. Everyone says yeah. Bono says yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, he does it.
Michael Jackson made up a whole language of ad libs.
Don't you gibberish down there on there. Dude, he's got
that's a sentence.
Yeah, he's just, man, I guess I can't think of really someone creating
last time you saw him.
A sound. I can't think of the last time I saw him. I go, what's he up to these days?
Run into Michael Jackson in a minute.
The guy that has no concept of time or culture.
No idea.
Guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter. We're just jumping right in today. You know, we're on borrowed time.
Everyone is.
And while we are aware of that, some of us more than others, we're doing the best we can to hang on. We're like that cat poster where the kitty's hanging on and it says hold on it.
We are like that. That's a very Scholastic book fair poster.
Yeah. What were some other ones? Do you remember those were like, dude, there was a Yoda one in my library. Yeah.
I remember being very excited for the Scholastic Book Fair, and I remember that they used to pass out like a little checklist order form that everyone would get super horny for.
Right.
And then I remember I would go there, and my parents would always be upset because I would always come back with like a pop-up book or like some like really colorful book about dinosaurs.
And
like, do you even want to like try to read? Like, I know that these other books are just words, but like, think of the images you can make with your mind. And I'm like, I don't know if I can't move a dinosaur's mouth.
Isn't it funny? Like, if I can't move a dinosaur's mouth, I don't want it. I don't want the book.
Essentially, that's kind of what happened.
Dude, the library was such a important part of growing up for me, and I'm sure for you it was during a time where when you're a kid, you know, like I don't think my parents didn't want me going to the park alone and just making friends and then coming home before it got dark. Like, my mom wanted to know where the hell I was, and she wanted to also make home life entertaining but also educational, right? Because all I wanted to do was watch The Muppets and play Nintendo all day. But, you know, it's so important to basically get your kids interested in reading in some capacity. And I always felt like my mom would basically let us run loose in the library. Like, library was a safe place to let your kid go. And when I was a respectful kid back then, I wasn't making fart sounds and horn noises in the library. I was respectful to the library patrons, I think. But my mom basically let us kind of go wherever the hell we wanted in the library. And also let us kind of like get whatever too. Like, I know that she was like, dude, I remember getting like Stephen King books, and I'm like 9. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe that's a little too young, I think. But my mom was just like, if he's going to read, you know, then like, fuck it. And I really loved reading a lot. So I remember, but yeah, like your whole thing about the dinosaur, like having to get things that are for kids. I remember a time like that, but I also remember being able to get whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah. Yes. I whenever I wanted to, I was a big, what was that fucking book? Scary Stories to Read in the Dark.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Guy. And I loved those because they were, I mean, it's made for older kids, but it's still made for kids. So the words are nice and spaced out and there are pictures.
Right.
Really, really gruesome, really terrifying, traumatizing pictures, imagery. Yes. And they redid those books and they did different pictures.
Yeah.
And they're bad.
Dude, and then they made a movie. And they didn't even honor the designs that made the book so
which was
scary.
Such a big part of the stories weren't that big. It was the stories and the images together.
Totally.
But I remember liking that because it was like a collection of scary short scary stories. And that's kind of where my attention span was. And then I loved the movie The Shining at too young of an age. And then I went to the, to the library to get that book. And then the book is like bigger than the Bible and I'm reading it and struggling through it because I'm dyslexic and stupid. And I'm like, when is it going to get scary? How long do I have to suffer through this trash basket before it gets scary? And then there were like chapters before anything scary would happen.
Right. So cause it would just be adult stuff. It would be like for pages and pages. It's like
of how to run the Overlook Hotel.
Right. Right. Yeah, I also remember giving up in Stephen King books a lot. Like, definitely the younger I was, the quicker I'd give up on something like that. But
yeah,
but I remember being like, I remember always going to like where the Jim Henson Muppet stuff was in the library too. Like seeing the like, there was this book that I would get all the time. I would just keep rechecking it out. And it was just this art book that showed you like behind the scenes of Sesame Street or something. And it was
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah. And it showed you like all the puppeteers like under the floor and shit.
That's exactly the kind of thing. If you let a child run loose in the library that a child would,
would zero in on. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, in grade school, you know how you have the little library in your school?
Yeah.
I always got the same dinosaur book over and over again. And my parents were like, what's wrong with it? I was like, it's a comforting thing. I'm an only child. Maybe leave me alone. You don't want me to watch wrestling. I want to learn about the Stegosaurus. You can't do anything about it. And then, it was books, like you were saying, like art books, mm-hmm. a lot of, before I even knew that they were like photography books, I would get like, you know, Rolling Stones best pictures from like, whatever, 1991 to 1995 or something.
Fuck yeah.
And it would just be cool to look at that type of stuff. And then when I could understand the words that I was reading, it was like only biographies. I didn't really give a shit about anything else.
Dude, yeah. I think I remember, I kind of went through all of the genres for a minute. Like I didn't go into the romance books because that was
too bad.
Too much.
Getting
hoard. That wasn't my bag as a young boy. I wanted the graphic novels and stuff that weren't at the library yet. But I remember there were some Winsor McCay books that like the guy that did Little Nemo, the kid that would fall asleep and go to a dream world. It's like fucking 1900s, 1910s comic book or something. And I remember getting the art book and looking at all of that. Like so many art books. And
yeah,
then I
how
remember,
to draw.
Dude, how to draw. So many how to draw books. But I remember in particular, there was this one book. This guy's name was Scarf. The artist. It was an artist. And I could be pronouncing it right, but I'm pretty sure, or wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Gerald Scarf. And I think the cover just said Scarf in like this crazy red, like almost like blood splatter kind of font. And then the art in the book was like all of these like twisted, weirdly like draw, like imagine a highly caricaturized picture of Jack Nicholson with the big giant fucking curvy eyebrows and the tiny nose and tiny, like, you know, super caricature version, like the Boardwalk Pier drawing version, and then grab the chin and the head and pull it and stretch it as far as you can.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and it was like crazy shit like that with like paint brush splats like next to the pictures and stuff. And I remember being like fascinated by how bizarre and fucked up it was. And a lot of it was like, God, I almost remember there being like a slice on a page and then like entrails kind of like busting out of some of the slice, almost as if like someone's tummy got sliced and some of their guts poked out or something. And there was this like hyper real like gut image in there with like a crazy like sword slice or something. And
imagine an artist really like with their nose down on the page, like
yeah breathing hard getting
hurt my heart, gonna break my heart.
like totally getting out whatever. But dude, I remember being a kid and there was super weird, disturbing things like that in there. And then some like kind of like overtly sexual innuendo, like a lot of like
the nipples.
Yeah. The knife is nipples. And it was like
so hard.
There was just a lot of erotic things in there too. And I remember like it was a big, and it was a big book with just drawings from this guy. And I took it to my mom and I remember being like, I want to check this out. I want to take this home and look at it. And my mom was like, okay. Like she didn't give a shit. She like shuffled through it.
She's like, it's a book. How could it be any worse than anything else?
Right. And I think my mom, knowing my mom, and this is pretty obvious to me now, I think she was just like, if he wants to discover art and he wants to get interested in art and he and his brother draw all the time and they're just drawing shit, you know, maybe this is like a way to get him into art. And if he wants to at all the shit that's out there, like, why not? It's art. And my mom was always like that. I think that's what she was doing.
That's great. That's great. And that's why you turned out to be a relatively successful comedian. I think.
Because you have such a broad scope of shit that you took in as a kid.
And I also think I read this book once and it was called, I don't remember if this one was the Start With Why one or if this was the Creative Curve thing, but they said the common denominator between a bunch of people like inventors and artists was that they all had encouragement from some source at a younger age.
That's
even
awesome.
If it wasn't their parents, they would, you know, there'd be a teacher or like a older sibling or something that would encourage just like creativity and stuff like that, didn't fucking, you know, shame them for it or shut it down right away. And then they grow up and then they are fortunate enough to apply their adult skills to their childlike imagination and then get a a job doing something creative.
Dude, I think I've talked about my fourth grade teacher before. She was this art teacher that was also just kind of like, it was a Catholic school where even if you were the art teacher, you were also the English teacher and the math teacher.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they had four teachers.
Right, and exactly.
13 subjects.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, this... who was the basketball coach?
Exactly.
Yeah, but... the secretary is the basketball coach.
Right, and it's like, wait a minute. Right. The basketball, and also so many times the PE teacher was the sex ed teacher.
Yes.
And it's like, what makes
and
you qualified
also the,
for this?
The dude who fucked a bunch of students.
Yeah. The one that was the creepiest.
Yeah. Was in charge of the locker room.
Right, exactly. So I remember cool, dude. No, it's fine. It's just like it all floods back because it's like so... And you know we're back, and I'll tell you what happened.
This you know, is going so- over.
Man, I don't even know when we started the show, really, anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I don't
last
have an,
week
I don't have an accurate. We've been having some technical difficulties today, but you know, whatever, man. Hey, we rise above it because at the end of the day, man, this show is all about Mike and I making funny jokes and trying to make each other laugh, talk about shit going on in our lives and our pasts. And being friends, and then you guys being a third wall, a third wall on the wall, a fly.
A third wall?
A third fly on the wall. And there's three
and
flies
then you go
on
through the mirror. bathroom and there's a whole other apartment right there.
And there's a wall. So, okay. So what I was saying earlier was I remember never really, like, I used to draw terrible shit in like my textbooks. Like everybody did to a degree. But like, you know, we had these religion books that were like workbooks to go along with like teachings from the Bible in this Catholic school. And the workbooks would have like, you know, pictures, like it would have like pictures of people, you know, in the community doing nice things. And there'd be like photos of people in church and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, that I remember, I think I've talked about this. There was a picture of a pope that like I drew like a demon horns on and gave him like his pope scepter. I turned it into like a crystal, like with electricity. And like, it wasn't like I was turning him into a demon, really. I was turning him more into like a badass, like heavy metal rock cover album pope.
Okay. However, you need to.
right. I mean, you know what? However sacrilegious you want to consider that imagery being, I just remember it not being received well. No one was happy about it. I was told
you're
to
the
not,
kid they look out for in schools like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was told not to do it anymore, and I was like, okay, all right, well, I won't. And so I ended up doing like, you know, drawing dinosaurs and shit, and like skeletons fighting with swords and stuff.
Tell me the Pope doesn't dinosaurs have horns. I'll draw a big old boy.
You think you could break my heart again like that? Yeah, dude. I'm telling you.
All he wants to do is draw horns on.
But like, I remember it wasn't until fourth grade. Every teacher that ever looked at what I was drawing was mostly disgusted. But I remember my fourth grade teacher was this like hippie art woman who drove a Volkswagen bus, and she noticed my drawings and was like, wow, you're really good. And that was like a big moment for me, because it was like, well, my mom would say my art was really good, and my brother and I would say each other's art was really good, and we'd you know, have that kind of shared experience. But it was the first time like an authority figure, someone that I'm supposed to listen to and respect as an authority figure. They're not my parents, but they're an adult that is basically caring for me while my parents are working or doing whatever, you know? So it was the first time someone of that position was like, your bonkers shit that you've been drawing in these books is actually like an expression of artistic wants and needs, and it's an expression of artistic expression, you know? And that teacher being like, this is good, helped me be like, okay, well then if adults can think this is good, then like, I think I'm doing okay, and maybe I'll be okay in my creative world, you know?
Yeah.
It was just important.
I still have that with my parents. Once in a while, like my dad called me 2 days ago, and I've been putting up stand-up clips recently. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I went into a little wormhole and I was watching a bunch of your stand-up and I was laughing really hard out loud. And I was like, as long as you and mom don't hate me, I truly don't give a fuck about what anybody else thinks.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
But when you're younger, you do need someone who's not. I mean, when it comes from your mom or your dad, encouragement, that is a gift in itself.
Totally.
A lot of people don't get that.
But and it's then, like the only thing.
If you get that.
Yeah. If you had it, then you're used to that. But it's the only kind of like love and respect you get at all is from just your family, right? Essentially.
And then you start to grow up and you're like, oh, you have to do that. And then
right.
I know I started in music, especially, I would always ask if they thought my stuff was good.
Right.
If they thought my music was good. And I never remember. They always said that they liked it. And they told me not to talk shit about my previous stuff in case somebody else liked that more than I liked it, which is a lesson that I tried to do, but I can't help how I know I have ears. I know how terrible right. I was. But it is important to, if you're going into a creative field where the stuff you make is based on just the zany ideas in your head, it is, it's like, there is a part of that process is getting, encouragement, and there's another word that I'm trying to think of that I'm sure I would yell at myself if I was listening to this right now.
Just like support, just
support, but like validation from people who, you know, are not necessarily your.
Yeah, parents. It's important. Like I, it's just it's so interesting how words of validation and. You know, it's so important in your informative years, because then later on it makes you either way full of yourself or not enough full of yourself, or there's somewhere in between.
Such a delicate balance to create a halfway decent person.
Right. It's impossible to recreate it in a lab scenario. You just have to like let go and let kind of people be themselves. And hopefully they, you know, they've learned the things that are helpful to humanity and helpful in situations where people need help and want to just live their lives freely or whatever. But it's interesting how, like, you know, I think about when you decide to have children, you have to kind of like give up the idea that you can control what that being will be. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard for people to fathom, I bet, you know, and especially when, now we learn about how people are groomed or like brainwashed a certain way because a parent thought they were doing the right thing when in reality it turns out to really screw them up as an adult or something. And there's no way to really know what those things are. You just have to kind of like everybody kind of fakes it. And when positive things align, they kind of just go with that flow, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, anyone could to have a kid.
Right, exactly.
And there are so many adults that just shouldn't.
Right.
Because they didn't even do a good job.
Right, because they don't
being
know
themselves.
What right, they don't know what they didn't get the things that, you know, like a loving art harboring home and so, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe and then they grow up and then they have a kid and they're like, you know, hopefully they're like, well, my parents didn't give a shit about my art. So I'm going to give even more of a shit about your art, you know, and maybe that's helpful. You never know, but there's so many variables. Yeah. You just have to give up what, you know, you have to give it up. You have to just let the world handle it.
It's weird, man. You're pooped onto this earth
and
you don't know how to do anything. And then you depend on the people around you to teach you how to be.
Right.
You know, and there's never, ever going to be a time where everyone acts and does the same shit. And I think, you know,
ever.
There, it's never going to be like that. And the fact that we're even anywhere close to all kind of having similar ideas on what is right and wrong is kind of insane.
Yeah. Cause it's like, we're also in by that same token. We're also like, learning to accept people for who they are also mm-hmm. like on top of hoping that their basic wrong or right functions are healthy, you know, whatever that even means, but like being comfortable with people thinking differently than you and understanding that there's nothing you can really do about that other than just give them what you want to be given, you know, like, which is a very basic Christian teaching, like treat others the way that you want to be treated.
And don't hurt anybody.
And it feels like that's such a baseline for how to be a human. And then beyond that, it's like, you're on your own and you just have to accept it. Like, you know, these people, if you're a huge sports fanatic and then you have this like huge, like this person that doesn't give a fuck about sports, you have to still be like, well, we can all exist together still. Like we don't have to eliminate sports or eliminate fandom. We just have to figure out a way for people to like, for nerds to calm the fuck down about that. And for sports people to not bully nerds and stuff. And like, you know, in a very basic not quite huge problematic.
That's like if
way.
The world was an 80s movie, that would be like the defining moral compass.
High All school right, 80s
like sports,
movie.
Get on this side of the room. If you like yeah. calculators, get on this side of the room.
right. It just yeah. So it feels like you know, there's a lot of mental, we've talked about the mental gymnastics when like being friends with people, but we don't really talk much about the mental gymnastics of navigating humanity, you know, like those are things that we weren't taught yeah. in school for sure, but things that kind of you just learn from the school of hard knocks in a lot of ways. But
you don't learn most things in school. You don't learn most very functional things that will, you know what, dude, I don't want to speak too broadly, and a lot of this is me not remembering school super well, but right. you don't really learn how to be a happy person.
No.
In school, you That's learn that point. You have a half an hour of PE a couple times a week, and you learn that maybe you'll enjoy your art class or your music class, or maybe you'll connect with one of the other subjects.
Right.
You don't really learn how to be happy, you know? You're just kind of like, do math while you're interacting with these people and figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And right. if you're not doing it well, you have to stay here even longer after everyone has gone home.
Right. And you get punished. And
they don't teach you anything
expression.
In detention either, by the way.
No.
I don't know how much you had detention.
I mean, dude, day. Think about how like people that go to jail, like how is that an adequate way to like
rehabilitate
Oh,
you get educated
someone?
In jail.
Right.
You could take
like,
classes, dude. You could like
totally.
Learn skills.
Right, but jail is supposed to be a place where they put you because you fucked up in freedom, and uh-huh. so we're gonna lock you away, and you know, I feel like detention is like, you know, prison is like the detention of life in a way, but it yeah. doesn't. I don't know if anybody really like does a murderer learn not to murder anymore in prison. I don't know. Everybody's different.
Let's take our first caller.
Let's take our first call. Yeah,
on line one. I dude, yes, I think if ahead. You have your freedom taken away from you, that definitely changes your life as much as
totally.
Any of your other experiences change.
But I mean,
you
like,
still have to want to change as a person.
Don't you remember detention feeling like jail in some ways as a kid? Like,
no, I don't think there's any comparison.
Because well, obviously, but when you're a kid, you're like, I don't know what prison
is. It's the closest
is.
Thing,
it's
but I've been punished
thing,
way
yeah.
worse by my parents than I ever have a teacher. You know, being like, even when you're locked in your room, you're just with all your stuff.
Totally.
You know, the you need to be punished for acting however the fuck you want at all times if it impedes on another person's sanity or health or well-being or your own.
Totally. I just don't remember detention ever really making me feel like, man, I don't want to go back there. It just seemed like something that
really?
Was like, I mean...
You would you have detention every day if you had your choice?
No, but if... It didn't stop me from being like a bad kid, you know, like it didn't really, like if I got detention because I made a loud fart sound in the middle of a test, mm-hmm. it didn't stop me from doing a loud fart sound like 2 weeks later, you know, like it just felt like
stopped you from doing it every day though.
It stopped me from doing it every day. Yeah. But it's like, if I made it through detention, like how hard of a punishment is that, you know, like,
I guess it's the absence of whatever you could be doing.
Yes.
Like the, whatever yeah. you could be doing is anything you fucking want. I could right. go home and watch Saved by the Bell or play fucking Turtles in Time or whatever the fuck, but right. I'm here like looking at fucking Miss Hamilton's weird neck
while she grades
and being
papers.
Silent.
Yeah,
exactly. And she has to smell like her cigarette break and come in here and ask me if I've learned my lesson yet. I know I don't want to do that. I would much rather be doing anything else.
I remember, because I mean, detention is different for a lot of different people too. And also it got different when you got to high school. Detention was like, I feel like detention in grade school, middle school, whatever, was like, read a book, whatever book you want for an hour and then go home. And for me, it was like, all I wanted to do was finish reading this book. mm-hmm. So it wasn't that bad. But in high school, it was like, you have to study. Like, you can't read a book. You have to do work. Like, you have to do schoolwork. That mm-hmm. that made it a little more miserable for me.
We had to do it anyway.
It's you had to do it anyway.
Do homework or do it right here. I would do my homework in class all the time. As soon as we would get assigned homework, that's all I would do for the rest of the class. What a weird memory that I would have never thought of if we didn't have this conversation. Dude, if God forbid a teacher, if there's any teachers listening, you assign homework as the bell is ringing, idiot. Because I would do, dude, if the teacher was like, you better listen up to this next half an hour because this is what the homework is going to be, immediately I start doing the homework so I don't have shit to do at night when I go home.
That's smart. That's smart as fuck.
Yeah, but then they would catch you out because everybody else would be reading and you would be doing the hydroxy. We didn't learn about that. But
like
plants.
I wouldn't really care, I think, if I was the teacher, but I'm not like made to be a teacher. Like I would be not a good teacher. But
yeah.
I mean, if I had to do it, I could do it. But I wouldn't care if someone was doing their homework. I'd be like, that's smart as fuck. Good job.
But the point is that you really weren't like learning the things. You were just putting down words to get the words done so you could have more time to.
I mean, I feel like I was doing that anyway, but you know, everybody retains. Like I feel like I don't feel like I learned anything from school other than what I learned from my friends and like life.
There's probably so much. I mean, I wouldn't be able to pick out details, but there's like subconscious stuff. Like I know vaguely how the government works and that there's branches of the government.
Yeah.
You
know, okay.
you
all
don't
right,
learn
right.
anything like important, like how to take out a loan or how to fucking like
buy how organize to a, how to do your taxes or
yeah.
I mean, it is a long way off when you're a kid, but I would love for them to teach how to read the room.
Social skills. Dude, that was why I did better in college, because you got to pick. There were like
shit you're interested in.
Yeah, for the most part. There was like base level classes that you had to do.
Yeah.
And I forget what they call those. But then there were like I took a human sexuality class, I took Black Studies class, I took all of these photography courses and digital design, and I was like, oh, you can go to school. That's why, like,
you can look forward to going to school.
I'm not going to tell you how to, like, you know, this is too late in the pandemic for this conversation, but anyone who was on unemployment, I didn't do unemployment because we got to keep doing certain jobs and I didn't think it was fair, essentially. But thank goodness for that. But anytime I had been on unemployment in my life, like when I was 18, 19, 20, whatever it was, I was always like, why didn't I take unemployment and then take another elective like night class and basically get paid by the government to like learn something?
Yep.
And I learned a lot of things in quarantine and like taking class. I didn't get paid for it, but. There's always like a class you could take no matter how hard you hated school. There's like shit that you could do that like exactly lines up with what.
Oh yeah, dude, you can just like put, you can get index cards, for example, write down all the things that you want to learn, the piano, a different language, how to paint, you know, whatever.
How to do good dick stuff.
How to do good dick stuff. Be like, learn more about politics, whatever. Put it all up on the fucking wall and get a dart or something and throw it at the fucking wall. And then whichever one it lands closest to, you could just be like, I am taking the month of September or the month of April or whatever to do that. And if I, by the end of April, I love it and I still want to keep doing it, then I'll fucking keep going for it. Like, there's just so many things that you can... you can do if you have the time. It's just crazy to me that like, cause dude, I remember at Sony, we, in the video team at the digital, at Sony Digital, we would get like large batches of work to do. And then we do all this work for months or whatever. And then there'd be like 2 or 3 months where the work was so light that we could go home early. We could do whatever the fuck we wanted to.
Uh-huh.
And our supervisor was like, do you guys want to like take these like Mavis Beacon classes or like whatever the teacher, the teaching tool was, for typography and like font stuff and like After Effects. And I was like, yeah, wait a minute. Did you just say we would get paid to learn how to like make typography and use After Effects? And they're like, yeah. And so like we did that for like 6 months or something. And we were getting paid while we fucking did it, dude. And it was like,
also, what, you know who fucking never gets a job at the company after that? The person who's like, no, I'll go home.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I got shit to do.
People who volunteered. I worked at this place. I don't want to say the name of the place, but I worked for Facebook, a place that did a lot of work for A&E and the History Channel. Mm-hmm. And then I worked a couple TV jobs when I was younger in Connecticut. And it was always the people who were like, yeah, I'll come in on the weekends and learn how to do this or whatever, that like still work there.
Yeah.
And God bless them for that, because they have a house now.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And maybe even two houses.
They have two houses, one where they really want one and one where they need to be.
One where they escape when they need to, yeah. Damn, that hurts. All right, well, let's get some... dude, I remember like being like, there are people who deserve the accolades, and I'm kind of just the morality booster energy guy that knew how to do video encoding and audio editing and stuff. And I knew that like all of the friends around me were gonna like get married and have kids and have houses within the next 5 years. And I was like, I could do that. But I could also like lean into my comedy and go into the riskier realm of like, let's see what happens. But and what a ride it's been. Like, there is a world where when I was offered the SourceFed job, where I could have just turned it down and been like, no, I don't want to work at a startup where the money sucks and I don't have health insurance and I can't survive.
Yeah. And a lot of people wouldn't. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I come from a place as well where everyone from the town has a similar trajectory. You know, you get married at a certain time, and then you get your house, and then, you know, whatever. And we chose a life that was very not that. But I also think that, not monetary wise, but the payoff, the emotional payoff for a lot of the things that I and we have gotten to experience is unlike any other life situation that I've ever been.
100%. Like I think about, I try to think about that often. I try to think about how like our accomplishments, as like small as we feel internally they might be, they're not. Like, we've helped a lot of people and we've made a lot of cool shit, and we've made a little mark in the dent of the digital space. Not that that really matters, but to me, it
matters zero.
It matters zero.
You know what I think about a lot is, especially, I mean, this year put perspective on everything for everyone, but everyone is so, you know, focused on like health stuff. And this is what you need to do to stay healthy, keep your body healthy. And this is, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that. And there was kind of a neglect of, everyone knew that there would be mental anguish and emotional kind of turbulent times that went along with all of this. And I think about, like, me and you don't have a house, and we're definitely not first responders, and we're definitely not a lot of very important things, but we do we do help people who maybe have more of a less creative outlet in their life, listen to something weekly, regardless of what's going on, and hopefully be a little happier, you know, hopefully contribute to someone else's happiness in a very tough time.
Yes.
And like, everyone is needed, you know, all the pieces of the machine are needed. And I'm incredibly grateful to be that part in the machine.
I agree. You know what I mean? I feel the same way.
I wouldn't want to do anything else.
And also, like,
what am I going to do in my house? Jerk off in the halls?
I can't just jack off in the halls and then magically the bills get paid.
Great. I got two floors and eight rooms. What am I going to do? Jack off in the halls?
Yeah, no, you can't just jack off all day. You gotta work. Dude, yeah. There's a world where I like stayed married and had kids and was a Sony guy, and then like that department kind of folded a few years later, but I probably could have gone to like ImageWorks or DreamWorks or, you know,
you could always find another.
I could have found some kind of job, like with the 5 years of experience at Sony on my resume, like I could have taken that to any studio probably and been like, here's my resume, and probably get a job in a cubicle at a studio being just outside the door of the people that were like on camera doing entertaining stuff.
Creative adjacent.
Yes, and I could have done that. And I think about that world and I think about how would I be happy with a home and children and a yard and all that stuff. And I'm like, no, I like what I have. I like what I've done so far. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of myself and my accomplishments. And I don't care about the world that didn't happen anymore, really. And I don't think there's anything healthy in thinking about that world. And I have no regrets. I have no regrets.
No, man. And that's great. And that's, I love when people who chose, who maybe had a shot at, everybody has a shot at everything, but mm-hmm. who maybe chose to, you know, go the other route and have no regrets about that because they have a beautiful
family. Take the
family
riskier route. Yeah. And it's hard to, you don't know if the risky route is going to be like fucking hell. And it, and both routes could have hellish moments, and life does have hellish moments. But there's literally nothing you can do about it. So the best thing to do is to be like, look at what I have and look at what I've done and the people in my life that love me too and care about me too. Like, that's very important stuff. That's more important than the what ifs.
You think about, if you're listening to this show right now, find yourself a piece of paper and a pen and write down five things that happened because you chose the life that you did, and that you have no regrets. Five things, and that you have no regrets about. And then look back at that list and cross things off one by one and think about how goddamn sad you would be if that thing didn't happen.
We have a question from the audience, if that's okay.
Yeah.
About it. About, because there's some questions. It's about the five things.
Okay. How much?
All right. Well, if we're just going to open the mic to literally anyone who wants to come near the mic every time the mic is turned on, then what's the goddamn point?
That's a beautiful mic. I like that. I like writing. Man, there's something so intimate about reconnecting with analog items and just writing something down on a piece of paper. Some of these kids are growing up with screens in their little baby eyes, in front of their baby eyes.
And they, little shriveled baby
their eyes. Their tiny little baby, developing baby eyes are staring at these screens. And, you know, it, some of you may have not even touched a pencil in your life.
Go ahead and go outside and touch your pencil.
Why don't you go out to any old flower bush and pick a pencil out of the ground.
Peter Piper picked a pencil.
And then cut off a piece of paper from a tree and write down.
How much?
A lot of people know that paper falls from trees like leaves.
Dude, let's do some ads really quick. How about it?
Okay. Yes, please.
Hey, I've got something to say to you guys.
Steve's having a good time.
Guys, we talk about Squarespace quite a bit. We've been blue in the face talking about Squarespace, and I'll do it again. And I would do it again. Doesn't take much, but I'll tell you, Squarespace offers such a golden thing, which is the chance to build a website that looks professional and good and like someone who really knows what they're doing built it. And it, you don't need to know anything about web design in order to achieve that. And I think that's a magical service that Squarespace provides. It's so easy. You can choose your URL, which is anything that ends in like a .com, .net, .org, or something more specific like .art. If you've got some art you want to sell online, you can sell unlimited things with no transaction fees, effortlessly manage your inventory, orders, and customers. You can check out their portfolio of third-party tools that can be connected to any Squarespace commerce website for more relevant business solutions, efficient workflows, and creative support. You can market your brands. You can do whatever the heck you want. Anything you've ever seen on a website, you can do with Squarespace. And you can
tell you something, Steve.
Go ahead, my boy.
Steve, in the past, do you know what has come between anyone who wants to carve out their little niche on the internet, something that's just yours? It's the gatekeeping language of HTML and that whole skill to learn another language, which is a very admirable thing, but absolutely, not everyone. Sometimes you're a parent, you got a full-time job, like we were just talking about, you don't have that. But now you could have something on the internet that's yours. It's not your profile on somebody else's website or art site or social media site. It's yours.
It's all yours,
baby. You
can
do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you can make it look exactly however you want without having to learn a new language. Mm-hmm. Anyone can do it.
And if you don't believe it, then why don't you check out Mike Falzone's website? MikeFalzone.com. That's a Squarespace.
Squarespace person for a long time for the exact reasons I just told you.
Correct. So, yes. Guys, here's the deal. With Squarespace, you have the ability to customize the look, feel, setting, products, everything else with just a few clicks. And all websites are optimized for mobile, which means you can do it on your phone if you want. And content automatically adjusts to your site to make it look good on any device right out of the box. When you create a website with Squarespace, you get free unlimited hosting, top-of-the-line security, and dependable resources to help you succeed. And most importantly, you don't need a patch or upgrade or anything. It's all web-optimized, guys. And there's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week support from their award-winning customer support services. My goodness, you ever have a problem with your site? Don't even worry about what time of day it is.
They're basically waiting for you specifically to call, which you may not even have to, but they are there.
That's right, 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 that's right. So guys, why don't you stop listening to my dumb voice and Mike's nice voice? Why don't you go to squarespace.com/banter? You can get a free trial, and when you're ready to launch your site, which you will be, you can use the offer code BANTER to save 10% off your purchase of a website or domain. That's BANTER, B-A-N-T-E-R, at squarespace.com/banter. To get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Guys, check it out! Thank you, Squarespace.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Hey, how about this, guys? Let's talk about what goes into a shoe. I'd say a foot. Absolutely, Mike. And we're both right.
I didn't buzz in, but...
No, I think it was very much a yell it out if you know it type situation. I hope everyone else did, too.
Not to mention other brands.
Guys... I'll tell you what, your socks are very important, and here's a good example of that. Have you ever gotten a blister on your foot, and it sucks to try to step on where your blister is for the whole rest of the day, week, whatever? Everyone's been there. We've all been there, and I'll tell you what does that: bad socks. Socks slipping off inside the shoe, so you're scraping your raw foot up against a shoe in some way. Dude, you gotta be picky about your footwear, guys, because not all socks are made the same, and I think we all know this. So to perform at your best, you need to feel your best from head to do re mi to fa si lo. The right gear can motivate you. That's the European version of it. The right gear can motivate you.
That's the metric system.
And all your socks. Guys, Features is obsessed with making the perfect sock. All right? This is a big deal. Ones you don't have to think about because their custom fit means they don't slip, they don't bunch, and they definitely don't give you any dang blisters. Man, I don't think there's anything better than when you put on a sock that is engineered specifically to hug your foot in a soothing, supportive way. I feel like I've got support, strength, and care around
Dude,
my
you
bare
know what's
foot.
Interesting? I put on some feature socks yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was like, why does this feel a little bit off? Because you know how they have the left one and the right one?
Oh,
and
did
I was
you?
Like, there's no way that the left side, like a shoe, would feel a little bit uncomfortable. And they do. They're so nicely form-fitting to your feet that it does feel a little off when they're on the wrong ones.
Dude, and that's funny because I've seen socks that are like, this is the left one, this is the right one, and there's and like, literally okay, no difference.
Yeah, 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 uh-huh.
But features for sure is engineered for there to be a difference. You've got yes. your toes all going in a certain direction on your right foot and your left foot. You got an arch on the different side. Whatever, man. These socks really kind of like they grab a hold where you need them and they stay there. And they feel
your
so
heart.
Nice.
Steve's talking about your heart.
Ugh. Not only is it a targeted compression that acts like a hug around the arch of your foot, which keeps the sock in place and prevents it from doing all that bunching and slipping, it also puts a mental hug around your heart. And guys, there's a lifetime guarantee. Let's not forget that. Features are so durable and long-lasting that if you're unsatisfied at any point, they're going to give you a replacement pair. No questions asked. Guaranteed to be the best socks you've ever worn. And I'll tell you, it's a family-owned company. That's always nice. Hugh Gaither founded the company in 2002, and now he and his sons John and Joe, love you boys, own and operate the company in North Carolina. And their mission is to create products that help you achieve your personal best. So guys, why don't you go to Features, all right? They're going to challenge you to try a pair, and if they're not the best socks you've ever worn, they'll take them back. That's it. No skin off your
foot. Kind of cocky.
Give it a shot. You just go to features.com/dynamic. That's FEETURES.com/dynamic for $10 off your first pair of Features. Don't take our word for it. Get those socks on your feet and then sing their praises in a history road. You send it to us and you tell us if you loved it or not. And I get the answer. It's already yes. Hey guys, last but certainly not least, my goodness, is honey. Ooh, I love honey. You know why? Because honey helps us save money. Ooh, honey and money, they go well together, and we all shop online, guys. And you know you've seen that blank field that says enter promo code, and you always look at it and you're like, ooh, I don't have a promo code.
Yeah, I remember a time where that area was blank.
Oh, yeah.
Perpetually blank.
Perpetually blank, taunting
Those
you.
Those days are over.
Screaming at you in the night. Thanks to Honey, I'll tell you, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. And Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. And I'm reading it from sites from like tech and gaming products, popular fashion brands, even food delivery, guys. Best way
you
to find
use
out
honey on food delivery?
Oh yeah. And the best way to find out is to actually just go okay, go to joinhoney.com, get the free plugin, I guess you'd call it. It's free. It's a plugin. It goes into your browser. And it just knows when you're going to buy something, and it does a nice little fun animation, and the next thing you know, you're saving money. It's absolutely free, and it helps the show. So that's crazy. And it installs in seconds, okay? And by getting it, you're doing yourself a solid, and you're supporting us, the boys. The two DBBB boys. So why don't you get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/banter. That's joinhoney.com/banter. Because, oh, you're going to save money on your clothes, on your tech, on your pizza. I'm telling you guys, I bought so many things that I forgot Honey was even working. And I'm like, whoa, 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 why is that cheaper? Honey, save the day.
I've seen Steve's apartment just pizza. Stacked
pizza boxes
up all
and,
over
and it's the same place because I know Honey is going to give me the discount. So don't be a dummy, check out Honey. There's over 17 million members that have saved over $2 billion using Honey. That's nuts. So why don't you guys check it out?
Seems like a lot of money.
Oh yeah, dude. It is. I'll never see that much money in my life. But knowing that Honey has helped people save that much is so wonderful. It makes my heart sing. So go to joinhoney.com/banter. That's joinhoney.com/banter. And you help the show out and you get to save some money. Huh? How about that? That's a kiss from the boys. Thank you, Honey.
Nice. Thank you, Steve. Very well done.
Hell yeah. Thank you, dude. Thank you to our sponsors. And thank you to people who check out our sponsors.
Speaking of people who check out our sponsors, there is a portion of the show that we normally do at the end of the show called History Road, where we read your stories that you write into us. We've done it since episode one, and Steve and I were talking before this episode of the show. During all of my misfires and mishaps with technology, Johnny Five is not alive. I think we could all agree, but we want to read a bunch of History Roads today.
And if that's okay with you guys, we'd like to get started.
And we'll wait for an answer.
History.
Guys, this first History Road comes from Taylor Felker.
Okay.
I'm going to poop my pants. Guess what the subject line says, Mike?
Does it say, don't read my name?
No, even better. It says, we're having a two-horn honk BB boy.
Oh, very nice. Congratulations. Congratulations. It's been... Tell the doctor exactly what you just told us.
Taylor says, hello, DB boys. My name is Taylor, and I'm going to be having a two-horn honk BB boy this Friday, February 18th. Whoa, that was a while back.
Yeah. Yeah, the kid's 36.
I wanted to see if we could get a shout-out for our baby Bennett on this week's Dynamic Banter. This is a late shout-out to a two-horn-born boy, baby Bennett, BBB.
And Bennett, cover your eyes. This is just for your parents.
Hell yeah, Doug. You can watch it when you're older, Bennett. We got COVID married, 10 people socially distanced, squashed skeddies, not sure how that works when you're a girl, and now we're about to become parents to a BB boy.
Oh, we read this. We read this last week. This was the one that I read last week from Instagram.
Wait, this exact, you read this whole email?
Yeah.
Or it's similar to it.
Remember when I was, no. Remember when I was like, there's a babe, somebody's having a baby and they would like a shout out.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I did because I remember the line specifically about squashing skeddies and not knowing how it works because.
Oh yeah. I did remember that squashing skeddies came up recently. Is it from this?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, you got two history roads. We hope you're okay. And actually, dude, there's a phone number here.
Let's call him.
Should we call him?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I hope the baby picks up. Hey, you've reached a 1-2 horn born guy. It's me, Bennett.
All right.
Is that the ring? Is that their outgoing ring?
Yeah, they're almost answering.
Their ring back tone.
Okay, let me see.
I'd be ringing. Dude, somebody in the comment section of something was like, why is everybody so horny for Nicholas Hamilton all of a sudden? Who is Nicholas Hamilton? And I forget if it was a YouTube comment or what. but somebody who's straight up like, I mean, who is he? Also, I like how they hear like me and you talk about it, and probably you had him on Valley Folk stuff whatever. And they're like, why is everybody talking?
Where's this guy coming from? And he's in the middle of promoting like new music and stuff, and it's like, why all of a sudden?
What's this guy's deal? But yeah, we like him.
We like him. He's our friend.
Yeah. What was their name? That's the kid.
Hello.
Hello, is this Taylor?
Yes.
Hello, Taylor. This is Steve Zaragoza from Dynamic Banter and Mike Falzone from Dynamic Banter. Mike is asking you to shut your dog up. Is that possible?
Yeah, I'm trying.
No, you don't have to do that. Okay. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is crazy.
We decided to call you because Mike read your History Road on the show. And then I started to read it again, not remembering that Mike read it already. So we decided that we got to make some piece of new content out of this. So we called you.
Yeah, we actually listened to the episode in the hospital.
No way! Did it help the baby come out smoother?
Well, he was already here at that point.
We missed it.
We were late regardless.
But he got to hear it, so...
We missed it, and I'm sorry about that.
No, congratulations. Okay. Congratulations. We got to hear it the day after he's born.
So what's it like being a parent?
It's pretty great, pretty crazy, but no sleep.
Yeah, I heard that that's a thing.
Yep.
Are you guys enjoying? Are you enjoying it? You guys are probably stuck at home during this pandemic a little bit, right? Like, at least that's part's got to be good.
Yeah, it's been. I mean, that's one good thing about COVID is that we don't have to have all of our family over.
Right. Yes.
Right now we can be like, nope, you can't come over.
Thank Christ. Now, I have a quick question for you, and then Mike has a question for you, and then we'll let you go because, you know, you're a parent. You're busy. Here's my question. Have you dropped the baby in the toilet yet?
No, we have not.
Okay.
You took my question.
All right. Oh, sorry. I took Mike's question. Well.
Dude, go out there. What are you doing, Mike, for yourself? Or do you have any time for yourself?
Mike wants to know if you're doing anything for yourself. Have you found time to do things for yourself at this time?
No, not yet.
Okay, good. Good.
I have him strapped to my chest right now. I'm trying to eat and hold him and deal with the dog.
We messed up by calling him.
We called it the wrong time, I think.
We did.
No, he's asleep, so we're good.
Oh, that's good. Put his head up to the phone and let me while I honk his horn. No, don't do that.
Wake up, kid.
Well, listen, we wanted to say congratulations to you, and we hope that you guys have a great time being parents. So many rewarding days are ahead of you, and all your hard work will be rewarded to you.
And if you need babysitters.
And if you need babysitters, Mike and Zoya are available.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If we ever come to California.
Where are you guys?
We are in Ohio.
Ohio. Okay, I got to go. Goodbye. I will not talk to people from Ohio.
Steve hates Ohio.
And they know why.
He doesn't like to talk about it.
But they know.
That's great. What a lovely sounding family.
Yeah, I love that. And I wish them the best. Yeah. Dylan Ward sends an email saying, History Road Wisdom Teeth Edition.
Oh, hate this.
Hey, boys, today I got my wisdom teeth out. All goddamn four of them. But it's all good because they gave me that good sleep water. Hell yeah.
It's been
the stuff you take on the plane.
My first memory of coming to was when I was in recovery, in a recovery room with a nurse and my wonderful girlfriend. Shout out to that.
Hell yeah.
Shout out.
Lucky guy.
I was so happy that everything went okay that I wanted to do something nice for the nurse. Uh oh.
Then a perfect time to do it.
So I started asking her about her shrubs. Oh, her scrubs. Her scrubs. Then tried to search up figs to use your boy's code.
That's real nice.
That's very nice. I remember dude, asking.
Imagine this dude fucking zonked out on fucking. Hey, what's your, those are good, what you're wearing now? I know a dynamic banter that can help you get 20% off. Leave so let me just try hey. Promo code Dander.
You heard of dynamic damper?
Dynamic damp.
Dynamic pampers.
You ever see this picture? Look at this picture. This
picture I took. I remember asking her how many pockets she had. She said 4, and it gets fuzzy after that. But I just discovered my search results attempts. Dude, oh, the dentist man.
Being like, countdown from 4 pockets, and it will be over before you know it.
Dude, your bit is real that you what? Just did. About him going like, let me type it in. Oh. He pasted a screenshot of his search result attempts for getting to figs to getting to figs, the figs. Yeah. And he says, so
how
for
many detours
for your viewing pleasure, here are those attempted search results from my iPhone. Much love, Dylan. And it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 attempts. The first one says scrubs forn dynamic in banter.
Perfect.
So it's S X R U B S space F O R N dynamic and banter, all one word.
This is like a normal tweet from me.
The next attempt was Snurbs forn dynamic banty. It got worse.
That was the promo code that week.
And then there's one that just says, this one's close. Dynamic banter dot grubs.
Those are nice grubs. You know, I bet I could help you out. And then the sideways like a sidekick.
If our audience were reptiles, we'd have dynamic banter dot grubs.
Grubs.
Get your grubs for your snakes and shit, for your lizards. And then we've got dynamic banter dot vrubs.
Vrubs. That must have been it.
And I don't know if this is related, but the final one says PSP audioware coupon. Nice work, Dylan.
Fuck, man. Thank you. You didn't help out that nurse, but it sounds like you're on your way to recovery.
Okay, and then finally, Camille sends an email saying, top 5 bits reply. Please read, I promise it's maybe funny.
So oh, yeah, check this out.
Yeah, go for
it. I asked Ryan to tweet out, what are your top 5 bits? Because, the bits that you guys like from the past, such helpful information, but they are all, I think we can all agree, they're all varying lengths. I think some of them go on for half an hour and some of them are maybe like 2.5 minutes, but we really do want to put a small collection together for you for vinyl reasons.
Yeah.
So anytime you feel like tweeting or messaging your top 5 bits, it'll go into the database. I'm going to try to take the most requested ones and put them in some kind of nice package.
And we thank you for participating in that. I think there's still time to do so if you want to check our ample time. Twitter account.
but enough time for us to save up to actually produce that.
So Camille has added her top 5 favorite bits and says, I love you, thank you. Number 5, drill bits. Number 4, dag-nat bits. Number 3, bacon bits. Number 2, tidbits of information. And number 1, rab bits.
Dude, there's a part of me that respects that attempt. There is a part of me that respects the attempt because you did get me and I was fully invested, especially went through the whole intro. So I was fully invested. But if you ended that with the fifth one being like, and Joe Loglio Tostitos, then I would have fallen out.
Yeah. Especially so, with
almost a very good joke, but definitely a joke.
Right. And in the description, it says, please read. I promise it's maybe funny.
Yes. And it was.
And she says, hugs and kisses, hugs and kisses, hugs and kisses from a baby born horn corn honk girl.
What was her name? Taylor?
Camille.
Camille. Listen, Camille, you got me. And the punishment is never listen to this show
again. All right, Camille Camazel.
Thank you for your email.
All right. That's it, guys. Thank you so much. We'll do a whole bunch more next week, obviously. Mm. I want to get through a lot of these unread ones that are kind of like deep in the account here. Uh-huh. Because there's a lot of them. So we'll get to those. I know we say that a bit, but we will get to those.
You know what's so much funnier than, because there's people who get upset because we haven't gotten to their thing yet.
Right.
And to just not get to it is bad enough. Right. And then to reread something we are. It's fucking, there's somebody who like has a really good one that's buried in it. That's like fucking twice.
They got twice. That's it. I'm never listening again.
I'll never be friends with you, kid.
All right. Well, guys, listen, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for sending in your history roads. Part of the fun is our brains not working right all the time and maybe rereading some or doing bungles and stuff, but that's part of the fun of the show. But I want to thank you guys for joining us. And thank you for our sponsors and thank you for supporting our sponsors and supporting the show.
Yes. And thank you for letting us into your lives at least once a week. If you'd like to let us into your lives in other places, I've been super horny about TikTok lately. If you listened to the show last week, that's all we did was talk about our newfound love for TikTok and how it feels like when YouTube was first starting. Yes. So I really like the general energy of that. A little late adapter, but having fun. So that's the place where I'm having fun. Steve, are you having fun?
I'm having fun, man. I like TikTok too. I use it sometimes. I'm not a daily poster, but I definitely have a TikTok if you want to look for that trash. Yes.
What's your thing? Mine is Mike Falzone Comedy.
I don't know. I don't think it's just Steve Zaragoza. I think it's something like Steve of the Valley Folk or something. Yeah.
You'll find it.
Of the Valley Folk is what it's called. But we have fun on there and it's fun stuff. But yeah. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Mike. I love you, buddy. Oh, anything else?
I love you, too. I just want to say thank you so much. I was talking to Byron yesterday, and he said that you guys kind of went nuts on all the Beatles stuff. And I just wanted to remind you guys that we do have dynamic banter, Beatles-themed stuff. That's like our newest little merch drop that we've done. And thank you so much. You know, we had mixed reviews for that stuff because there's people who obviously don't give a shit about the Beatles, which is fine. And then I was kind of overwhelmed with those one day. And then the next day I read a bunch that are like, that was awesome. It was great to hear you guys nerd out about blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I know we have a vast array of people who listen to this and it's always going to be whatever the fuck we want to do. And then you decide if you want to deal with that. But thank you for the people who showed love to the Beatles stuff. And we really appreciate it. We love making stuff for you guys. So we like when you like it.
Yeah. And I think we might do something like that again in the future because of how people do
the Beatles over again.
We'll just do more. We'll just start from the beginning and do it again. Wait, we didn't do this. Shit, we already did this. We just forget.
Did I say they were black and white for the first 3 years of the band?
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to Dynamic Banter. We'll catch you next time. Bye bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.